Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live every day to address your questions by phone with the Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. If there's a question or something you'd like to talk about, call right now. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. And here's how the Basic Gospel intersects with our lives, how it intersected with the Apostle Paul's life. He writes to his young son in the faith, Timothy, in his first letter, these words: "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it." Now, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It's very easy to read and understand. But he says, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all." You may think you're a bad guy. You may think you're the worst sinner, but Paul has already claimed that top spot. He's the worst sinner of them all. But then he goes on to say, "But God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life." Paul was this blasphemer, this persecutor of the church, but he was doing that out of ignorance. He thought he was doing something good for God when in reality he was persecuting Jesus Christ. And that was the great question that Jesus asked him on the road to Damascus: "Why are you persecuting me?" And everything just clarified in Paul's mind at that moment. Jesus truly is who he claimed to be. He is the Son of the living God. And through faith in him, Paul could receive eternal life. He was saved that day. And God set him apart to be this great proclaimer of the good news about Jesus. And this good news truly is about Jesus. That Jesus is God's good news to man. He is the gift that God gives us. If we need life, God gives us Jesus. If we need forgiveness, God gives us Jesus. If we need redemption, God gave us Jesus. Jesus Christ is God's gift to mankind. But why I wanted to read this verse is for this reason. The fact that God could use me as a prime example of his great patience. You know, a part of this gospel message is responding to the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We know from the Word of God that God is love. But what does that mean? Well, when Paul defined it in 1 Corinthians, he said, "Love is patient." And that's just not an adjective. It's a verb that he's actually using, that God long suffers on our behalf to bring us to that point of salvation. So if you want to know what God's love is all about, you will see it through his characteristic of patience and the fact that he has endured day after day with your rebellion, with your acts of ungratefulness, with all of the things that you have done. Yet he is born up under that to bring you to a point where this great gospel message could connect with your heart and bring you salvation. That's an incredible thing to know that God loves us that much. If you're wondering about the love of God, just ask him to reveal to you how he's been patient with you in your life. And you will come up with just incredible things like Paul did in recognizing this patience in your life.
If you would like to discuss those issues in your life, we'd love to discuss them with you here at Basic Gospel. Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. If there's a particular Bible passage you can't quite understand, we'd love to discuss that with you as well. Or if there's a life issue you're going through right now, this is your opportunity to talk about it with us here at Basic Gospel. Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Calgary, Alberta, and talk to Lori listening to us on CHRB. Hi, Lori. Lori, you're on the air. Well, obviously, she is not on the air, so we're going to put her on hold to maybe get back to her. But her question was on the New Jerusalem. Is that heaven? So how would you answer that, Richard?
It's one of those pictures in Revelation that you've got to be careful with. I mean, if you want to make it too literal, then you end up with either a cube or a pyramid coming down from heaven to earth. And if you make it too much of a metaphor, then it means nothing. The New Jerusalem represents God's dwelling with mankind. And part of it, I'm sure, is going to be physical, but the most important part of it is the completion of what he started by giving us the Holy Spirit. And now we get the Holy Spirit, but we still can't see him face to face. But Revelation tells us that we will see him face to face and at that time. I can't wait. I mean, it's just, whether it's completely literal or completely spiritual, doesn't matter to me. I'm going to see God face to face.
And it's an actual place. I mean, it's called the city of God.
It's called the city.
It comes down from heaven, and it's going to reside here on earth. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably what she was wanting to know, is that the heaven that we go to? Where is it? Is it up there in the heavenly realms, or is it down here? We see it coming down from heaven,
yes,
from God, but it's going to take up a spot here on earth.
In the new earth.
That's right.
Yes, as part of the new heavens and the new earth.
Yeah, and that's going to be our dwelling place.
Yes.
That's where we're going to be, and that's where God's going to be, mm-hmm, here. That's where the kingdom of heaven and earth meet, isn't it?
Yes. Well, it's the recreation of Eden.
Yes.
Because the tree of life will be there, God will be there, we get to be there.
An incredible picture of what's ahead for us, mm-hmm, as believers in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, we hope that answers your question if you're listening, and we hope you are. 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines, lots of time on the clock. This is your opportunity to call and speak with us here at Basic Gospel. That's why we're here every day live on the air, and we want you to be a part of this broadcast. 1-800-677-9377. Well, Bob and Richard, Michelle in Ramona, California, has gone through one of the worst things, one of the most terrible things that a parent can experience in life. She says, I've recently lost my 18-year-old daughter to an automobile accident. She truly was a believer in Jesus Christ, and we've been reassured again and again. We look to Colossians 3, 2 through 4, and we understand that her life is hidden in Christ, and that her life is Christ's. But we also know that she will come back with him in glory. I pray for a picture of what that looks like. I absolutely believe it, but selfishly, as her mom, I struggle with what our heavenly relationship will be. I know she has Jesus and no longer needs me, but I wonder, do we, as mother and daughter, have our same relationship, or are we more like sisters in heaven? I just love her and Jesus so much, but I don't want to let go of our special earthly relationship. Do you have any insights on what our heavenly reunion will look like? Will we recognize each other? Maybe it doesn't matter, but to me, as I remain on this earth, it is a constant question in my mind. Thank you for your answer. That's from Michelle in Ramona, California.
Well, it's an excellent question, and I think that's something that we all want to know. I know my dad passed away almost 14 years ago, and, you know, I wonder what he's doing now. I wonder, you know, how he's, you know, enjoying his day, or, you know, of course, it's not time-bound where he is in God's presence, in Christ's presence, but we have all of those types of questions. And certainly I want to know, you know, will I see him when I go up there, and what will that be? What will that be like? But the Bible really doesn't give us a lot of information. It simply says that we're going to be brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the relationship that we'll have one with another eternally. There will not be kind of family hierarchies, you know, parents and children and that sort of thing. We're all a part of the family of God. God's the Father, and we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, and we will all gather together around the throne, and we will give Christ praise and glory and honor and all of those things, because he's the one that's worthy. He's the one that secured our salvation and enabled us to be in his presence and to be in each other's presence forever. But one thing that we do know is that whatever we experience here on earth, as good as the relationships that we have here on earth within our families are, I think they're going to pale in comparison to the relationships that we'll experience one with another within that heavenly realm and within that new Jerusalem. We'll be bound together in a much tighter way in Christ than that we were bound together, you know, here on earth as brothers and sisters, moms and dads, and sons and daughters, and that sort of thing. Our bond is going to be so much tighter. And the basis of our love one for another is going to be deeper and broader and higher and longer than we could ever have here through these finite relationships called family on earth.
Yeah, that's the thing we quite often trip ourselves up on, especially in good relationships. People who have been abused and all that can't wait for that change because, you know, it's been so hard on them. But for someone who's had a wonderful marriage or wonderful children, we tend to think of our earthly existence as the be-all and end-all, and it's not. Whatever is coming in the future is going to be so much better than what we have now. We can't even begin to put words to it.
That's exactly right.
Well, so, Michelle, I hope you're listening, and hope that's been a help to you.
I'm so sorry.
Well.
I'm glad she was in Christ. I mean, what great hope that gives in that situation.
Yes, indeed.
Well, friends, if you have something you'd like to discuss, the phone lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377. We encourage your call right now. And as I said, we have plenty of time on the clock. And gosh, if you have a Bible question or something that you wanted to discuss, well, you're missing a good opportunity by not calling right now. Two of the finest Bible teachers I know, Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, sitting right beside me right now, and I would love for them to be able to speak with you, answer your question, or address your particular situation. So call now, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, Bob, we're still in the middle of our Thanksgiving sale. It goes all the way through this weekend, and we have valuable, wonderful resources available at a deep discount, 30% off all of the materials that we offer. Our product of the day is a book that I wrote last year called Love Is, and it is just a look at 1 Corinthians 13, the definition of love. And in that definition, you know, we, in our English language, we use adjectives to describe love. Love is patient, love is kind, but all of those words are actually verbs. They're present tense active verbs. And what Paul is trying to teach us is that God is actively loving us today. And we see that through his patience, through his kindness to us, through all of those things that Paul uses. And I know that's one of the things that we struggle with. Whenever we sin, whenever we're feeling down in the dumps, whenever we're feeling kind of low, it's because we're not sure that God loves us. I mean, that is the critical issue that we all face, and that's what we all question, and that's what our enemy causes us to question as well. Does God really love you? How can you say that God loves you and you do those things that you're doing, or you think those things that you're doing? Well, this book will help you see clearly that God's love is constant, that is constantly pouring it out on you, even as I speak. God's loving you right now. He's being patient with you right now. He's being kind to you right now. And I think that's a message that we all need. And if we will grab a hold of it, we'll be able to go through this life, power through this life with a sense of confidence, a sense of well-being, knowing that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And when we're there, that's when we can experience true victory in life. So we recommend this book to you. It's available at basicgospel.net. You have all the information on how somebody can get a hold of this.
Absolutely. And now through December 8th, you'll receive a 30% discount on all products available through our store. And to view them, including Love Is, just visit store.basicgospel.net. A little switcheroo there. store.basicgospel.net. And take advantage of this huge discount on all of our products, including Love Is, as Bob was mentioning, just in time for Christmas giving. See how you can bless someone else's life by taking advantage of a 30% discount between now and December 8th on all products available through our store. Bob?
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New York and talk to Stephanie. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Welcome.
How are you?
Doing well.
I listen to this radio station often, and I've recently connected with God, and I was talking to some friends, and I wanted to become more Catholic. So they told me, you know, there's this morning station that you can listen to, or they're on all the time. So I began listening to it, and I got more connected with God through you guys. It was a time that I was struggling. And there was a message that you guys sent. I felt like it was directly towards me, and it was really like God connect. God was really talking to me, and every morning I put it on, and throughout the day when I get out of work, like now, I listen to you guys, and, you know, I'm trying to become connected with God, and because of my work schedule, it becomes hard to go to church and, you know, do all these things, but I feel like I'm still looking for God when I listen to your stations, and you guys are speaking the word of God. Is there, I know that reading the Bible is, like, I have an app on my phone that gives me, like, Bible verses and things like that I read. Is there any other way, being that sometimes I go to church when I can, but is there any other way that, like, reading the Bible, is that going to help me? Is it bad that I'm not able to go to church, or is it okay that at least I'm looking for God in different ways?
Well, Stephanie, you know, God's love finds you and wherever you are, and that's, I think that's the miracle of the gospel. As you go through life and you struggle and you're trying to, you know, figure out what it's supposed to be and where meaning and purpose is to be found and how you can be happy, and you know, you limp along, you do all of that, and just kind of unexpectedly you encounter the love of Christ. You hear about Jesus. You hear about the fact that he died, Stephanie, to take away your sins, and that forgiveness can be yours through faith in him. You learn that he was raised from the dead so that you could have life everlasting. That's what the gospel message is. And just, you know, kind of out of the blue one day, that connects with you. And you respond, and you're born again. That's what this gospel message is all about, giving you new life. Well, then you want to grow in this new life. And so the question comes, how do you do that? Well, certainly reading the Word of God is going to be a critical part of that growth. That's where you're going to find out about who this Jesus really is and how much he truly loves you. And then you certainly want to get connected with other people, other believers, so that you can, you know, learn from their journeys and kind of share this life together with them. But that doesn't necessarily have to take place within the context of a church building on a Sunday morning. You can meet with believers over lunch. You can meet with believers in a small group Bible study, you know, one day a week. There's many ways that you can meet with believers. And so you just trust the Lord to kind of reach out to you and meet your needs as he sees fit. And I think that's the best way to go. So, Stephanie, I'm encouraged by your words saying that you've you know, connected with God. And so let me just kind of walk through that with you. Do you know that he's taken away all your sins through his death on the cross?
Yeah. Okay.
And you have believed that God raised Jesus from the dead. You believe that in your heart?
Yeah.
So you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are a born again believer in Christ Jesus, that you've been made alive in him.
Yes. And it took me a while to believe that.
It is a process sometimes, isn't it, Stephanie?
Yeah. Well, once, because the reason I started going to like some after work, it was like after hours, and it was like a prayer group that we had, and it started in January, and it went all the way to, I'm a teacher, till the end of the year, till the end of June, and we've been able to reconnect, and over the summer, I said, you know, I'm going to go to church, I'm going to do all these things, and I have been doing it, but now it's just become harder to build those Bible study groups and like finding a church that actually has those days that can work with my schedule. But I've really come to believe it, and every day I go to work and I pray, and sometimes I ask God for things, because I was listening to your station that says, ask God and God will, you know, God will hear you and God will respond. And actually did it and actually worked. And it's amazing when you hear other people talking about these miracle stories, and you think it's not, like, you know, you sometimes you think, like, wow, is it really true? And I've, you know, my mom began learning about the Word of God, and she's really happy that I'm doing the same thing, and I really am truly a believer. And
well, that's wonderful, yeah. Stephanie. Well, just let God, like I said, meet your needs. Just trust Him. Whenever you get to the point you say, I should be going to church, and, oh, I'm not going to church, so God must be disappointed in me, then you're going to start to question and doubt His love for you. And God doesn't want that. He wants you to be sure that He loves you. He wants you to know that you know that you know. So just trust Him to bring the right people into your life, to open up doors for you so that you can grow, and He'll be faithful to do that. You don't have to worry about it. He loves you that much. He really, really genuinely does. So trust Him. Trust that love. Rely upon it. It'll change your life, I guarantee you, Stephanie. And whatever way that we can help you, you know, radio is a fabulous discipleship tool. If you're tuned in on a daily basis, you're getting some valuable input. Thank the Lord for that. He's meeting your need in that specific way. So there's lots to thank the Lord for. And just continue to do so, and you will see Him continuing to grow you in His love and grace. Well, let me do this for you, Stephanie. Let me put you on hold. I'd love to send you a copy of this book, Love Is. I think it will be a valuable resource to you as you continue your journey in Christ Jesus. You hold the line, Stephanie. Thanks for your call.
Nice conversation with Stephanie.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Bill in New Jersey listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Hello?
Hey, Bill, you're on the line.
Okay. Question is, you had a caller yesterday, once saved, always saved, right at the end of the show. And what are the consequences if you take the mark of the beast, either willingly or unwillingly, or if you curse the Holy Ghost? I mean, doesn't that cancel out being saved?
Well, if you're saved, Bill, you're saved. Nothing can cancel that out. If somebody is blaspheming the Holy Spirit who says they're saved, that would simply mean to me that they probably weren't genuinely saved to begin with. We don't know. There's a lot of people that give lip service to faith, but they have no genuine faith in their hearts. They really genuinely don't believe, yet they pretend to be believers. But as far as true believers, they'll never receive the mark of the beast. That's an impossibility. We've been marked out by God. We've been sealed by His Holy Spirit. If we're saved, we truly belong to Him. And He will protect us from that. We can count on it. Well, Bill, hope that helps. Thanks for your question. Let me put you on hold. I'll send you a copy of this book, Love Is, as well. Thanks for your call, Bill. You hang on.
And thanks to everybody for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel. I want to remind you again that now through December 8th, you'll save 30% on all of our products. That's right. All products in our store are marked down 30% through December 8th. View them all. Visit store.basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net to take advantage of this huge discount on all of our products just in time for Christmas giving. 30% off between now and December 8th. Visit store.basicgospel.net and see how you can bless someone's life during this Christmas season. And while you're shopping, please help us keep the good news coming by making a generous Christmas season donation to Basic Gospel. We are, of course, listener-supported, and we need your help at this time. Prominent support link right there on the homepage at basicgospel.net. Remember, too, that you can click subscribe and get signed up for our newsletter. Basicgospel.net is the place to go for that. Just click subscribe in the upper menu, and you'll get information about the ministry, all the late news, and about upcoming events as well. And if you like what you hear each day on Basic Gospel, if it's found a place in your life, why, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Again, that's at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry staff, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel at the very same time, and we hope you'll join us then. See you then. Bye-bye.